Well, the title of our message this morning is, It's About the Fruit. It's About the Fruit. If you were with us last week, we talked about heaven. And if you weren't with us, I'd encourage you to either go online and listen to it or download it to your listening device, or you can get a CD from Bree and Zach in the back this morning. But we talked about heaven. And when we looked at heaven, we saw that heaven is a real place. We also saw that heaven is a prepared place. And the third thing we looked at is that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Now this morning, I want to follow up on that thought of Christian and on heaven and ask you this question. Can I know if I am a prepared person ready for heaven? The second question we want to look at this morning is this. Can I know if my family and friends are prepared people bound for heaven? Well, the answer to the first question, can I know that I am prepared for heaven? Is yes. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may what? Know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. So we can know. But the second question, the answer to the second question, can I know if my family or my friends are prepared? And the answer is really no. We can't know for sure. None of us can know for sure about our friends or our family or anyone for that matter. But there are indicators that God has given us, things that we could look at that would indicate if a person is truly saved or not. So turn to your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll look at verses 13 to 23 this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. And as we turn it to that in your passage, well, let me just remind everybody that every Monday morning at 8 o'clock and every Thursday morning, the ladies meet for prayer time. If you can come, you don't have to commit to it every week, but if you can come, whenever you can come, they would love to have you as they pray through things going on in the church and in people's lives. Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting at 6:30. Again, if you can't commit to it every week, we'd love to have you anytime you can come. Sunday morning, before Sunday school at 8:30, we have a time to pray. And again, you're not committing to anything, but just come when you come. We'd love to have you come and be a part of what's going on and being involved in prayer, which is a very important part of what we do here. But Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13, says this. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.
Ernie, Dan's had to work today, so I'll ask you. If you read a passage and you want to know what that passage means, what do you need to do? Very good. You read the passage in context.
You are In context, Jesus is talking about false prophets. But I think we can also glean from this passage about false Christians. People that claim to have a relationship with God, but really do not. After warning about false prophets in verse 15, Jesus continues on to tell us how you can pick a false prophet or a false teacher out of the crowd. How one can determine if a person is from God or a fake. It's interesting to note in the passage that the determining factor is not what they say, and not even what they really do, but rather it's the fruit that their lives yield. It's not about what one claims to be that shows off our salvation. Rather, it's the fruit that that life bears. Now, got some more tough questions for you. What kind of fruit tree is this? Apple. Very good, class. One more tough one. What kind of fruit tree is this? Orange. Very good. Now, understand this. A fruit tree is not a fruit tree because it has beautiful blossoms. A fruit tree is not a fruit tree because it's strong and can withstand storms. It's not even a fruit tree because you maybe enjoy the shade that it gives you in the summer. And it is never a fruit tree just because you want it to be a fruit tree. What makes a fruit tree a genuine fruit tree is the fruit that it bears. It has everything to do with the hanging fruit and nothing to do with how it looks or what you want it to be. As it is with false prophets, it's the same for those of us that claim to know Christ as our Savior. It's not about the wonderful life that we might live. It's not even about having the right words to say. It has everything to do with the hanging fruit from our lives. Now, if you were to go, and I wouldn't recommend this to anybody, but if you were to go into a room full of ISIS soldiers, it's pretty easy to figure out that they're bad guys, right? If you would go back, I don't know, where in Long Island did you live? Did you live on Long Island? Whereabouts? Way out? Oh, close to the city? Halfway through, yeah. If you would go to Long Island today, if you've been watching the news at all, if you were to walk through some of the places in Long Island, it is not difficult to pick out the MS-13 gang members on Long Island. Although those examples are obvious, it's not always so obvious to pick out the false believers in the church. Because usually, they look like good people. And when they come in on Sunday, they probably say the same thing that you do. How you doing? Doing great. How's your week? Oh, it was wonderful. Right? We all say that. Well, I don't say that because nobody ever asked me. And they may have nice things to say, and they may be glad that they're here, and they always seem to be on top of things. It's even more difficult to recognize it sometimes in our families because we so much want our spouses and our children to be saved that we're willing to overlook the lack of fruit. Sometimes we'll say things like, I know they're saved because they made a decision when they were a child. Or, I know they were saved because they made a decision at camp. Or, I know they're saved because they can recite memory verses from when they were in Sunday school. Or I know they're saved, they've just walked away from the Lord. Or I know that they're saved and, well, you just fill in the blank. Jesus takes this argument and he takes it back to nature. He says this, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, he said in verse 16. Jesus says, no one needs help in deciding if a tree is bad. Just look at the fruit. If it bears shriveled fruit or discolored fruit, or if the fruit is obviously rotten, then the tree is no good. I know for those of you that are as old as me, did you have, when you were growing up, did you have a on your dining room table a bowl of plastic fruit? What in the world was that all about? How many of you had it? How many of you still have it? Yeah. How many of you are lying? Yeah. I tell you what, I was never tempted to eat that plastic fruit. It was so obvious that it was fake. So how do you know? How do you know if a pastor or a speaker that you listen to is a true believer? How can we know if my family is really saved? How can I know if I have not even deceived myself into thinking that I'm saved when I'm not? I think the Bible gives us at least three tests, three areas that we can apply to our lives in order to know. The first one is this: character. Character. It's who you are. It's who you are. If you listen to people talk, not necessarily listen to it when they're in control of their emotions or when life is going as they want it to be, but listen to them when maybe they hit their thumb with a hammer or they're upset because life isn't dealing them the things that they want dealt. Listen, because Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus said, you want to know if someone's a believer? Look at their character. Look at who they are. Listen to their words. Secondly, B, look at their motivation. Look at their motivation. A person's basic motivation makes one do what they do. Look at them and see what they invest in. Look at how they spend their time, their resources. Watch and see what excites them every day and gets them up and gets them going. John the Baptist is writing to some false prophets when he's talking to the Sadducees and Pharisees. And he says this to them. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. What's that verse mean? What does it mean? Well, to understand what the verse means, you must first understand what genuine repentance is. God's definition of repentance is going in one direction. It would be like walking in this direction towards sin, walking that broad road that we just read about in Matthew 7. You're walking this way, you're walking on your way to hell. And then all of a sudden, there's this 180 that you take, and that's repentance. You turn your back to where you're going, and now you're walking on that narrow road, walking through that small gate into heaven. That's true repentance. And Paul says, someone that experiences true repentance is changed. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, Paul says, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Paul said this in Acts. He says, I preach first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God. And then he says, and prove they have been changed by the good things they do. That's the fruit. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. What that means is that one who has genuine repentance, you will look at them and you will see that things have changed. Their motivation has changed. Repentance will show itself in changed attitudes and changed behavior. True repentance changes things, and it will bear fruit in accordance to that change. Now, this doesn't change the fact. Listen to me, because this is important. This doesn't change the fact that salvation does not come from doing good works. All right, let me say that again. Salvation does not come from doing good works, the good things that we do. But it does mean that genuine salvation will produce good works. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. When we come to Christ, that's what God's designed us to do. This is a fruit of being saved. You do good works, which God prepared in advance before we were saved for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. When my kids were growing up, one of my fears was because they grew up in ministry, because they were always surrounded by Christians and they were very active in their youth group, and then we sent them all off to Bible school, because of that environment, I was afraid that they were going to be a product of their environment, and that it would never become, and it may not be real to them. But I got to tell you, I have no worries about that anymore. Not because my kids are perfect, not because they always do what I want them to do, although I don't know why they don't. But I'm confident of their salvation now because I see the fruits. And I see good works that they are doing and passing on to their children. I see them producing fruit in keeping with repentance. And for a dad, I got to tell you, that is a blessing beyond measure. Character, who you are. Listen to the words. See what motivates them. Why do they do what they do? Thirdly, look at the heart. Look at the heart. You can tell a true believer by watching their heart. Everything godly, everything we are, begins in the heart. What is happening on the inside will determine what is happening on the outside. And please understand, there are no exceptions. What is happening on the inside will determine what is happening on the outside of a person's life. When you and I come into a personal relationship with Christ, you are given a fruit. It's called the fruit of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1, verse 11. As with everything that is godly and righteous, true fruit bearing begins on the inside. It begins on the heart. If you watch the heart of a person, then you will know who has the heart of that person. The acts of the sinful nature, that's the heart, it's the sinful heart. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me just say this. When you read this verse, it doesn't mean that as a Christian, if you go there, you're on your way to hell. That's not what it means at all. Because who of us don't go back there from time to time, right? Who of us don't get jealous, maybe? Or maybe for you, it's causing discord. Maybe you're a backbiter, or maybe you're involved in slander, or trying to think of a word. Gossip, thank you very much. Maybe you're involved in that. Maybe you have a problem with your anger.
Maybe you're flying off the handle. See, it doesn't mean that we don't go back there. What it does mean is, if we're truly a believer, we don't stay there. And the reason we don't stay there is because as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit working in us. When He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. John chapter 16 and verse 8. Not only does the Holy Spirit convict us from these things, if we're truly one of His, He brings along His fruit, and He gives that fruit to us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 23. Some of the indications of whether or not you are a Christian is your character. Things you say, the motivation that you have to do things, and of course your heart. Secondly, it's your conclusion. It's your conclusion. And by that I mean what you believe. What you believe determines whether you are a Christian or not. See, it's not what you say you believe that will determine how you will live. But your life will be determined by what you conclude to be true. That will determine how you will live your life. It's not what you believe that's going to determine how you're going to live your life, but what you conclude to be true, that will be the thing that determines how you're going to live your life from now on, or on a daily basis. It's not what you say you believe that will get you to heaven. It's what you conclude the truth to be that will determine your eternal destiny. How important is it that your conclusion about the significance of God, how important is it that you conclude that the significance of the Bible is important in your life? Well, look and see what God said about the importance of the Bible. He said all Scripture. Now that would be from Genesis to Revelation. That would even include the books you haven't read yet. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. See, if you and I have the right conclusions concerning the Word of God, it will withstand the scrutiny of Scripture. Look at God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict His Word are completely in the dark. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. In verses 13 and 14, look at them again with me if you would. Verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7 says this: "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." In verses 13 to 14, Jesus has just shown the way to two different destinations. The path to heaven is narrow, He said, and found by just a few. The person that believes that the way to God is wider than Jesus will live a life that cannot meet God's standards. So consequently, if one is on the wide or broad road, the consequences of sin, the need for repentance and submission to God, are not a priority to them, because they're on a different path. But for the true believer that concludes that what God says is important, you will see that in their lives.
God said this about King David. He said, David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. How could God say that about David? Well, God could say that about David because David said this about God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, verse 9 to 11. David also said this. He said, do good to your servant according to your word, O Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and whatever you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Psalms 119, 65 to 68. Jeremiah, one of the great prophets of God, said this about God's word. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. If you claim to be a believer, or if you are hanging with people that claim to be a believer, but they never talk about their faith, they never talk about what God's doing in their lives, they never talk about God personally at all, then I would tend to be concerned about that. See, often the people that come to the conclusion that God's word is less than what God says it is will tend to talk about the love of God instead of the holiness of God. They're quick to talk about their plans, their dreams, their ambitions. You never hear them talking about God's plans, God's dreams, or God's ambitions for them. And when it comes to living a life of obedience, it's like God has never given us a manual on how to live. Three things to look for in your life, in my life, in the life of those that claim to know Christ. First of all, it's character. Why are you like you are? Who you are. Character is who you are. You can see it in their words. You can see it in their motivations. You can see it in their heart. Secondly, conclusions. What do they think? How do they believe? Or how much importance do they put on the Word of God? And then the third one is credibility. Credibility. John MacArthur said, it is delusion to think you can hear God's word, then disobey it without cost. It's delusion to think that you can hear God's word, then disobey it without cost. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23 again. It says this, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will say, tell them plainly, I never knew you. Now notice he doesn't say, I used to know you and now you're gone. He said, I never knew you. They never had a relationship with Christ. And then he says, away from me, you evil doers. These, to me, at least for me, these are the most heart-wrenching verses in the Bible. Do you see the difference between the ones that think they're saved and the ones that aren't saved? Jesus makes a clear distinction between those who merely claim to be a Christian and those who truly are.
For someone to be credible,
they will be doing, Jesus said, the will of the Father. In other words, one of the distinctions of or the fruits of a Christian is that they don't merely listen to the word and deceive themselves, they do what it says. James tells us in John, James chapter 1, verse 22. Judy isn't with us today because she's away speaking this weekend, but she used to audit some Bible classes when I was in Bible school. Now, the difference between Judy's classes and mine weren't necessarily the topics taught as much as the work was required. I had to take tests, I had to write papers, I had to read books, I had to study. Judy, because she was just auditing the class, she wasn't required to do any work because she wasn't getting credit for the class. Unfortunately, there are many people today attending churches around the country that think that they can just kind of show up and audit church. They've convinced themselves listening to a sermon is all that God requires of them. They attend and they attend the services and they hear the sermons. They may even show up from Sunday school from time to time. But their lives never change because all they're doing is auditing the class. They'll give time to sit under the teaching of the Bible, but then they walk away never applying it. Like those Jesus condemned in verses 21 to 23, they have chosen religious activity over a relationship with Christ. The Bible tells us that hell is eternal. It is eternal awful. I don't think that's the right English. But it's eternal awful. It's awful forever. And there's a lot of torment and pain involved in being in hell. But I think one of the greatest torments of all for all eternity will be to hear Jesus say, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. But the good news is, Jesus said that will never happen to you. If you are one that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not the one who simply claims the Lord, but it's the one that actually does the will of my Father who was in heaven, Jesus said, they're saved. See, the issue at stake is, are you credible? Are you credible? Are you walking and living in obedience to the Word of God? Jesus said that the key to being his disciple, he said, just to the Jews, he said, to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Sadly to say, and those of you that have been here as long as I have, going on almost 18 years, sadly to say, over the years, a number of people have left our church. Now, some people have left and they've gotten involved in other churches and they're very active, and I'm very glad for that. Very glad for them that they can get involved in a church, and very glad for that church that those people are using their gifts and abilities for God. But some have walked away, and they've not only walked away from this church, they've walked away from the church. And for some, they've even walked away from God altogether. They have lost their credibility to be called a Christian. And I fear for them. I fear for them because of what John wrote when he said, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19.
If you were with us last Sunday, I got to tell you, the topic of heaven is a lot more fun to talk about than this. I understand that this isn't a fun sermon. I got to tell you, it hasn't been fun to put together this week. But it's the truth. And truth doesn't change. The way you get to God has always been the same. It's through a personal relationship with Christ. And if you have a personal relationship with Christ, Jesus says you'll know it. You know it, not by what you say or not by something you've done in the past, but by the hanging fruit. The things that people can see in your life right now. Heaven. We sang about last week, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Well, heaven is a wonderful place. And it truly is. And my concern this morning is for you. Are you one of the many? Or are you one of the few? See, Jesus said, it's easy to find the wide path. And he said, many are finding it. What I wanted to make sure this morning, what I want you to think about this morning, is this. Are you on the narrow path? Because only few find it. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher from yesteryear, he said that he never felt that there were more than 20% of his congregation at any one time that were saved. 20%. And I'm convinced that it's probably not much different today. The Barna Group, which is a Christian organization, and we'll kind of wrap it up with this. The Barna Group did a survey and found out that 75% of all Christians, or excuse me, of all Americans, think they're saved. 75%. I have no doubt that many of the many in verse 22 also think they're saved. And how did they prove it to God? Well, God, I did this and I did that and I did this. I gotta be saved. What did God say? Never knew you. But many of those people thought that they're saved. So my question to you this morning is, are you one of the few? Or are you one of the many? The few that are on that narrow path that leads to God and leads to life. Or one of the many that are on that broad road that leads to destruction. Look and see. Evaluate your own life today and check for that hanging fruit. What kind of fruit is hanging from your life? Is it from the sinful nature? Or is it from the fruit of the Spirit? That will go a long way in telling you and I what path we are on. The words of an engraving from the Cathedral of Lübeck in Germany really reflects well what Christ says in this passage. Says, thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. Salvation. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. But please remember that salvation is not accomplished by your work. Salvation is accomplished by the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. Jesus Christ died. Otherwise, if we could do it ourselves, why would he have to die? He died to pay for our sins. It's all about the work that God did for us. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one else can boast. So remember that salvation is God's work. It's a gift that we accept. But also remember, the Bible says that if you are saved, if you truly are in a relationship with Christ, then people will know. Because if you're truly saved, there will be good works. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 10. As you look at your life, are you on the narrow road that leads to life, or on the wide road that leads to destruction? The choice God leaves up to us. But remember this, if you're on the wide road, all you have to do is come to Christ, and everything changes. Stand with me as we close this morning singing Amazing